Good morning, everyone. My name is Becca Peel. I am really excited to talk with you today about the Navajo Evangelical Lutheran Mission. For everyone who is in the Fellowship Hall, I hope you are enjoying some fry bread brought to you by Sherry Grindelin and Joan Tweeten. Thank you, Kitchen Squad over there, helping us illustrate some of the great things about the Navajo Nation and their culture. For everyone who's online, I'm sorry, but you can just imagine the delicious fried nonsense that's happening. And hopefully you are partaking in some delightful treats at home. Before we get started today, I just want to acknowledge that we at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church acknowledge that in this space that we are on the traditional land of the Duwamish and Coast Salish people, a people that are still here, continuing to honor and bring to light their ancestral heritage. And I've got cool slide power.
Too much power.
So the goal for today is to talk to you a little bit about the Navajo Nation history, just to give you a background of what's happening in Arizona. Then we're going to share some information about the campus, the Navajo Evangelical Lutheran Mission Campus. A history of our outreach from our congregation and fellow congregations that we've inspired in the area, and then introduce you to our next project, as well as share a little bit about the trip that we are planning in partnership with Magnolia Lutheran Church. So I just want, again, special thanks to individuals that helped bring this together today, Sherry Grindelin, Joan Tweeten, Gene Wallstrom, and my pal, Lyle Morse, here from Magnolia Lutheran Church. And not here today is Michelle Vossler, who was present at our past trip, and she's also very excited to partake in our next adventure. Boom. So the Navajo Nation extends in the states of Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico, covering over 27,000 square miles. It is the largest recognized in Native American culture in the United States. It was established, a tribal government was established in 1923 to help meet the increasing desires of the American oil industry. And it was advantageous for the Navajo Nation to make sure that they had a council to represent their interests and to make sure that they had a voice in how their land was being utilized, since that was denied them for a very long time. So the Navajo Nation Council Chambers hosts 88 council delegates representing 110 Navajo Nation chapters. And so some of the terms that we might hear if you are visiting the Navajo Nation, for Navajo people, the word is Diné, just to describe the group. And Gene, help me if I mispronounce it, but Navajo land is Bikeya. Did I say it right? Gene says good enough. You can always listen to the sounds online as try to do it from home. But again, the land that they have in these areas, it's extensive, but it also is remote, and it's just the resources that are available to the people. And in their culture, they have utilized various means to make sure that they thrive and are able to support their families. But it's still difficult because of the terrain as well as the geography. So next, I just want to provide a little bit about the timeline for the Navajo Nation, for their culture. Just to give some perspective to the evolution of where they are now. So it was in 1100 and 1500 AD where the culture emerged. There's roots of the community outreach from the people from different Native American tribes that existed in that land. So they believed to be born to the earth centuries earlier from the Four Corners areas of Colorado Plateau. I'm trying to remember the tribe that's also starts with P, Gene. Thank you. They also have share a lot of common ancestry with the Pueblo people that are in that area as well. It was in 1581, 1583, where they had first contact with the Spanish colonizers. In 1805, there was a massacre at Canyon de Chelly, which is a for not only for the Navajo people, also for the Pueblo people, a very powerful area in terms of its spiritual history. And they massacred 100 Navajo women, children, and elders. And this is just one act of some of the terror that has happened towards the people of the Navajo Nation. In 1863, you had the Scorched Earth campaign conducted by Kit Carson against the Navajo. So captives were forced to march on the Long Walk to Fort Sumner, or 350 miles east of New Mexico, and many died during that campaign. One group led by Hoskinuni fled from the Monument Valley, and Kit Carson in pursuit they had a point named after that incident just because of the strive to escape this march. And there was some important rock formations out of the march where they have named after the spiritual heritage in that region. In 1868, we have the creation of the Navajo Reservation. So once they had forced everyone to move from different locations, then the treaty decided they would be able to provide some land for the Navajo people. So this is a picture of Spider Rock in Canyon de Chelly. It's actually was taken by Michelle Vossler when we visited a couple years ago. And in the valley itself, there are tribes of people herding. We saw herds of sheep at different points, little pinpricks. But the rock formations are incredible to see in person. And they are amazing for the culture and heritage as well. Also exciting in the canyon is you would see the Pueblo people's homes that they carved from in the rock. So not pictured in this spot. You would have to turn a little bit from where this outpost was. You would see some of the carved homes that they had. So really incredible archaeological experience. Thank you. Sorry, forgot where to point. So we have now the reservation land was established. The reservations were still known to be areas where you can discriminate and alienate the people. So in the Navajo Nation, was a growing culture, growing population, and so they were able to create a tribal council. So the Navajo communities were organized into different chapters to try to unify their voice and make sure that they could speak together to talk to the U.S. government. It was President Roosevelt who appointed a Commissioner of Indian Affairs in 1933, who advocated a system of livestock reduction to alleviate soil erosion problems. And this was difficult for the Navajo people because it curbed their own abilities to support their families. And so that's why they really wanted to have a unified voice so that they could talk to the government in different ways. What's also incredible is just the impact that the Navajo Nation had in supporting our own military efforts. The Navajo language is incredible. And if we ever get a chance to listen, I hope you do. Because in that language, they utilize their own code system to help our military efforts in World War II. And they also were able to do some different what's the word one for? Code breaking for the Japanese. So the Navajo Marines used their language for battlefield code, which the enemy was unable to decipher. And there's some pretty cool monuments to and testaments of their efforts close to Little Rock, where we were. In 1968, the Navajo Tribal Council declares the reservation the Navajo Nation. And so that's now the people together are recognized as their own independent location, and they have a Navajo flag as well. It's big strides. This is a picture of the Navajo Tribal Council. So they have, again, those 88 different chapters that would come and meet and talk through the different areas' interests and what support they need. So I just want to emphasize the community aspect of the Navajo people. It's very family-oriented. And so almost every act of their life, they're is looking at ways that they can support each other. So the Hogan is a communal building that's utilized to make sure that you have access to all areas of the elements, because it's a 8-side building with a fire pit in the middle, so you got a chance to really commune together. Planting of the crops as well. We're all celebrating nature, creation of different songs and prayers together. That's oral history. But in addition to that oral history, that root together in sharing your culture, we have to recognize that they are in a difficult location. Again, that lack of resources. There's an incredible way that, like, they build their land together, they build their homes together, they stay together in the different family units, and then they're still not having the access to power, water, that others have in the area and other states. So the Navajo Nation estimates that of its 357,000 residents, up to 35% don't have running water. And so out of the pandemic, the Navajo Nation was hit really hard right from the beginning because of the lack of running water and the ability to clean and make sure that they weren't spreading disease. Just something to be mindful of. But there is lots of amazing things that happen in the Navajo Nation outside of their own amazing culture. And one of those great things is the Navajo Evangelical Lutheran Mission. They established from Lutheran Church missionaries who wanted at least 5 acres of land just to have a goal to start a medical center, a mechanic shop, and a radio station, a Christian boarding school, just to be a part of the area because they recognized that it is very widespread and there wasn't a lot of access to different resources. So the very first building on this land was a combined church, clinic, and 2 apartments that began in 1954. So today, the Mission Campus includes a K-2 private Christian school, a clinic, as well as a home healthcare mobile service. And the ELCA has a house of prayer. The church that is there, it provides different community meals as well as support. So at the mission, the Navajo people learn to see themselves and the church as the guiding light, but not the whole ship. So they are working to share the Christian values, but they are not trying to minimize the Navajo Nation, and they want to make sure that they respect the cultural values that are instilled. What was incredible from talking with Pastor Kate, who is at the campus now, her goal in life, even though she is a representative of the ELCA, is to make sure that it is the people, the Navajo people, who are guiding and leading different work ethics.
Perhaps just to add to that, Becca, they are currently in a project with PLTS, which is a seminary in the Bay Area, with to do a theological education by extension. They have two of their own people. One is Patterson Yahtzee, the director, plus a woman named Patty. And they are being prepared and trained to take over the pastoral leadership for House of Prayer Lutheran Church. This is an exciting program. We heard more about it when we were just there. And so they have professors come from the Bay Area, from Oakland, Berkeley area, and they come out to the Navajo because there is no Navajo that they could, that would be free enough to actually leave their home, leave their their digs, and go to San Francisco for 3-4 weeks at a time. So a professor comes there, and they house them in one of the apartments, and then they are being trained. They did have three, but they have two. One, because of illness, could not continue with the training program, but this is really exciting for us, and also especially for Kate, the leadership there is to get a indigenous person taking over the pastoral care.
More food checks.
And she said about the K-2, they will be starting the third year next year. They one of the things Marv and I did when we were there was to tear down a wall to make a class, two small classrooms into one big one, so they can follow the distance, social distancing guidelines, as well as being able then to have a complete third year program. So they were larger. They did have some 5 and 6, and then with the pandemic, blew all that pattern all to pieces. So they've had to start all over again with grades, preschool, grades 1 and 2. And now next year they will expand to a full grade 3. And then they will keep building a new building, actually new classrooms, in order to accommodate the growth in the program. And there's plenty of kids, that want to be there. So.
Yes. And so this picture in the lower corner is of the church. And then in the upper corner, you see the school and the office. But, we are not new timers to this location, as Jean just mentioned. She was just down there. So we have a history of mission and outreach in the area. It was just 2 years ago.
Yeah, March of 2020.
Yep.
It was the year of lockdown, right before we we spent a week down there.
So there was 9 different guests who were down in that area to help support the renovation.
There were 13 of us.
13? My goodness. I can keep track. 13 of us helping the renovation of an ADA bathroom to make sure that they can open up to more individuals as guests. We also supported some classroom renovation and cleanup just because it was spring break at that time. We supported their community meal program as well as cleaning up some of their library. Now, Jean has just come back from a trip from that area just to share more about what has been happening down there. And so we have some different fun photos. Jean, would you like to come and share more about it?
Do you want me over there?
Okay. Yeah, so that everyone can see you.
Well, the man on the left is Patterson Yahtzee. He is now the manager of the entire development there. He is the manager of the site operation. So he oversees the school as well as he oversees the actual mission thing. About a few month or two ago, they have a newsletter that comes out, and he had a wish list in there of things that they needed. And so as we traveled down to Arizona this winter in February, along the way, we picked up donations from people that were responding to the wish list. There were several from the congregation, but also people down there. We stopped with a lady at Prescott Valley, and she had several of the things, a coffee, a food processor, and a couple things. And we picked up some toasters and other things. And so by the time we got there, we had, and other people had sent it down, because with Amazon, they deliver to the Navajo, even though it's way in the middle of nowhere. So you can order on Amazon and have it delivered there in terms of if you see anybody on anything else on the wish list. What we wanted to do was to show you the results of what we had done in the upper picture on the left-hand side. One of the things we did when we went down in 2020 was to convert and renovate an apartment to make it ADA compliant. You can see there's a shower to the right. There's a stool, one that we put in. They put in a new floor, new stool, which is up 17 inches higher. And then to the right is the shower. You'll see it down at the bottom. This is a shower where you can roll a wheelchair right up to it and actually put a chair inside. The person can then have shower, et cetera. Down at the bottom, we didn't do this, but after we left, there was money that was left to do a ramp. So in this is the room, the apartment which we worked on. So now people with wheelchairs can roll up on this side, and this is the kind of ramp. And we didn't know what it was going to look like. We thought it was going to be wood or cement, but they did it with metal so that it doesn't collect the water. And then up at the top, we also had heard about they had the need for water. They had dug a new well. The well itself totaled about $200,000 to actually dig this deep well. And they put it in with it. You see the larger tank, but you also see this is what happens every day is somebody with a pickup and a trailer shows up with a large tank. Marv, what is about, how many gallons is that tank?
I think it's 17,000.
That's the big one. I want the one in the pickup.
That looks like it's going to be, what, 250?
Okay, gallons?
Yeah.
Okay. And what they've got is a card system. So they go into the office of the Mission House. They have a credit card, and they put money on the credit card, which gives them how much water they can get. So then they take the card out to that little, where it says, where it's white, they're on the other side of the vehicle, and they stick their card in, and they punch in the numbers as to how many gallons they've paid for, how many gallons they can get, and then it just, so it's all a prepay system. Marv.
Now, they have to pay 2 cents a gallon for water. Why do they have to pay that?
They pay 2 cents a gallon for water. Okay, Marv is reminding me. They pay 2 cents a gallon for water. Why? Because the chapter also has a well in the same village in Rock Point, and that's what they charge. So they have to charge an equal amount. Otherwise, the Navajo, they don't understand free in that regard. So if they pay 2 cents per gallon, that's what the chapter is charging. That's what they charge. Did I say it right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay.
But it wasn't their idea.
No, it wasn't their idea. They did not want to charge people for water, you know. But they found out they really had to be commensurate. The other thing that we did was to tear down a wall in where we mentioned that, okay. The other thing was we cleaned out, maybe Pastor Lara would appreciate this. If you walk into a church that hasn't been had a sacristy or a storage rooms cleaned out for 40 years, so Kate decided that Marv and I knew how to sort and throw. So we went in and sorted old banners where the felt was coming off because the glue was so brittle. And so we could do that, and they could blame it on us and then leave, see? So we just simply threw things out like crazy.
That's a very important job.
Very important job, which we did, was to sort and throw. And so we really did. We just... It's amazing the stuff that people will send. We, in Missioner Field, when we were in Tanzania, we'd call it Jesus junk. People would ship out stuff and think that we could use, like use tea bags and things. It doesn't work. If it doesn't work in the States, please don't send it out to someplace because it won't work there either. All right. Go ahead. Another one. I think that's me. I'm done. I'm not done. What the new thing that we started, they started during this pandemic. They realized a need for food distribution. So they took a maintenance shed up in the left-hand corner, and the maintenance shed is one that they converted into a food bank. So in the food bank, it's run in conjunction with an organization called St. Mary's Food Banks. All right. So down below, you see two big, huge walk-in coolers, and then this is one of the walk-in coolers. And then there's a guy named Raphael. And then what he does is he makes up these boxes for food, et cetera, so people can come He's got an office. He has a checklist. So anybody who has applied for food bank property or food bank distribution, he checks it off every time they come and get a box. And so that this is now the food operation that's happening. And it was really amazing how much food, the thousands and thousands of pounds of food that they distribute every week.
Perfect. And so Jean alluded to this when she was talking about the price of the water, but this land is leased. So they still have to operate with the Navajo Nation and make sure that they are following all the different regulations that they have asked of them to do while they're on that property. So we do want to go back down because it's an amazing experience. Not only is the land beautiful, like the red earth that you see, gorgeous sunsets. We also didn't get a taste of the full picture. So we went down in March. It was cold. And now we're going to switch it up. So we have an opportunity to join Magnolia Lutheran Church to go on a trip together from June 30th to July 7th. So I shared with my good pal, Lyle Morris, the fact that we did go on this trip right before the pandemic. And he was fascinated because of hearing in the news the impact that the pandemic was having on the Navajo Nation. And he's like, what can I do to help? And I was like, well, let me introduce you to Pastor Kate. And he just kept on going, you know? And so this is out of the fruition of some mission that he would like to help support from Magnolia Lutheran, and he'll have an opportunity to share a little bit more about what has happened. But when we're down there, anyone can come. We can find projects to do while we're down there. And if you come to stay, it's just $20 per person and then supporting some community feeding that we'll do together as a group, opportunity to eat and dine because we have access to full kitchens. And then the different projects that we have are determined on the number of volunteers that are available. So the office is hesitant to give us projects until they know how many people are going to be down there at that time. Some projects could be supporting the community meal program, sorting and cleaning, because as Jean said, there's opportunities for that at any point during the day. And other work can be done on their maintenance shed. I think they said they needed a new roof for the church as well. So there's lots of opportunities for projects, big and small.
I mentioned one thing, which is when we were down there before, Michelle spent a lot of her time making curtains she sat at a machine and made curtains because a lot of the places need curtains made because the kind of weather disintegrates a lot of cloth stuff. So, I mean, there is just a lot of different kinds of activities. You're not just simply building stuff or tearing it down.
But now I'd like to introduce my pal, Lyle Morris, to come talk about the solar generator project that we would like to support while we're down there.
Good morning. I'm Lyle Morris from Magnolia Lutheran. I'm Marvin Jean. We've met in Tanzania, I think is where we met. As Becca said, we have a couple of projects that we picked out. She mentioned that 35% of the reservation is without running water. If you threw in how many were without electricity also, it's almost 50% of the reservation is without either running water, electricity, or both. The remoteness of the area, most of the generators that are running there are gasoline. We took the opportunity with the new development of electric cars and the development around the change in battery storage and such. We have found a product from Blue Eddy, which provides about 2,000 watts of power. We brought in a demonstration unit at Magnolia, set it up, and started seeing how many panels and so on were needed. Now, obviously, the one of the things that they have that's free is sunshine. And during the day, the solar generators can be recharged to be able to run at night. While it can't heat a house that can run an electric blanket. It has a capacity to run in a refrigerator. So if you're storing medications or fresh foods or something of this nature, possible to run that through the night and even recharge it during the day off of maybe a more traditional source. The Blue Eddy, what you're seeing there on the right are the people from the maintenance staff. We went down last August and took our demonstration unit from Magnolia, set up four panels, which is the maximum amount of input. That's about 180 watt a panel, and so it's the maximum that generator can take. Showed them how to do the looping and the direct wire current, direct current wiring, and set up the generator in the eight-sided building. So that could be, yep.
Okay, now you say the solar power runs a generator. Now you're just talking about a battery bank, right? The solar power charges.
It's a solar charged generator the interior of that is a lithium battery.
Okay,
lithium battery. Like a Tesla.
How does the generator function? How does that run?
It runs on electricity. The battery is charged by the solar panels. And then it puts off through it has a converter, so you can run AC through the inverter. You can run DC if you were having a DC refrigerator or anything of that nature. We also provide with the kit a small LED light that draws about an amp off of that stored energy so that you can get to your medications at night and that sort of thing. The solar kit, which is our goal this year, is five. To raise $14,285 for five of the household kits, includes a generator, four panels, the cabling for connecting, the Y's for distribution for going into the building, and then a solar light, LED light. The generator is always kept inside, by the way. Since it's battery, it doesn't exhaust, and there's no noise. And you have to protect it. The outside element is the panel. The other thing we're doing is sponsoring four individual students, and they talked about the school and how it's been growing. I want to point out it's not a boarding school anymore because half of their students don't have electricity or running water. One of the things that it provides is showers and hygiene in the morning. So a sponsorship provides the funds to have a truck drive to their home, pick up that child and bring them to the school for their instruction, a period for hygiene in the morning. So the sponsorship provides shampoo, soap, toothbrush, towels, fuel for the cars to go pick them up. And then they are taken home in the afternoon. If there is no school, they drive to the home and deliver the breakfast and lunch that is provided for them while they're at school. There's a small cafe where they turn out 300 meals a day, something like that, I believe, on a donation basis. Pay what you can. So a sponsorship for an individual student is $1,000. And a sponsorship for a class is $3,000. We sponsored the kindergarten class last year, and this year are doing the first grade, which is the kindergarten class, if they all matriculate, right? If they all pass on up through, and it'll be a second grade next year, which was the span of the kids that they were doing 10 individuals in that class and four individuals. So a class scholarship is three, four for four individuals. So there's $7,000 we're trying to raise for the scholarships. And then we're going to go down from June 30th to July 7th. Our group at Magnolia includes my wife and I. Our pastor is going to be able to join from the 2nd, I think, to the 30th. We have a retired doctor who's on our schedule, so maybe we can do something in relationship with the clinic. And then it's over the 4th of July, so we also want to be able to do something where we see how it's celebrated in their way in their country. Am I out of it? No, okay. I hate to see when you're sneaking around. You know. So are there any questions about... Yep. They're on Rock Point, where this facility is about 50 miles from any other supplies. Gene, maybe you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a public education Bureau of Affairs has a school over in Rock Point. The change is the fact that these students that are elected or selected to come, they cannot afford the base. I'm sorry. I need to get out of here. Over here. The students who are selected to be there at the academy there are students that wanted, this is a faith-based operation, so that a faith-based approach to the curriculum as well as the care, et cetera. And these are students who can't afford to be across at the public education place, because they also, even if it's public education, unfortunately, they all charge fees for basic supplies and everything else that's there. And these are students that also cannot afford to, parents cannot afford to send them in that. There is I was talking about, there's a bus. And they go, the limit is 13 miles out where they will pick up people. So anybody within that span is somebody that they can actually, where they can actually get to the bus. The people. Yes, there is public education. It's just not always accessible to some of the poorest.
And the routes that the bus goes to help these children, it's not like a nice road. So as like the access point is really difficult for children to get to the schools, even if they could possibly afford the resources. Trying to get to that location is difficult. So that's why the NELM campus is so helpful.
It's for a school year, but they continue the delivery of food, for example, when the school isn't open also. This class sponsorship then includes supplies for that class. There were 10 kindergartners. I think the class size last year ended up at 39. Now they're talking about maybe 50 as they keep entering new students at the kindergarten level. So at any rate, we have two projects that we're working on. Also, the very important thing about the generators, by the way, is the charging of cell phones and devices and so on to be able to do that overnight without a generator running or something of that nature. So if you'd want to join us that June 30th to July 7th, you're on your own. I suppose you contact Becca. If you want to participate in helping with the sponsorships, and so on, make your check out to St. Andrews and Neelam, Navajo Evangelical Lutheran Mission.
With the Navajo Mission on the memo line.
Yeah, Neelam on the memo line, and anything helps, obviously. We've had gifts of $1 to a gift of $10,000. So, and ours. If you want more information about our efforts and a white sheet on the generator that has the individual pricing and also on the sponsorships and our trip, there's some of these scattered around. I think I did 10 of them. There's a couple up here. You can take that and read them. And with that, thank you.
Glorious. Any other questions?
Yeah, they go on to a high school. The high school actually across the street at Rock Point is quite good, and they can transfer directly over. And there's no intent to go anything beyond that preparatory. This is the students that they select and bring in that have the poorest chance to succeed in the middle of a larger class. We were there. We got invited to, quote, a tea with the preschoolers. And so we're sitting there. If you can imagine Marvin sitting at a table with preschoolers, it was pretty funny. But they wanted to learn about how to do a tea, how to have some conversations. So we asked them questions about their home and about their family. And these truly are some of the poorest of the poor. They're also oftentimes members of the families that attend House of Prayer Lutheran Church. Obviously, if they're in a Christian faith circle, they're going to want to continue their kids in the same way with that. But it's an application process. They're not discriminated against at all. It's just those who do apply and what they look for. In that regard, they just check to make sure that this is a good use of sponsors' money. Very similar to the same kind of thing what OBA does with Maasai girls. They check out who gets it and who doesn't.
I think one of the things that we noticed when we were there was, I guess we're there because we're Christian, not because we're trying to make them Christian per se. And we certainly saw an evidence of spirituality that tries to be maintained and supported in relationship with the Navajo and their beliefs. So the eight-sided building, the way that you enter and that you walk, that you're, the seating is done in a certain manner, and structures that the sweat lodges and so on. And it was their culture, instead of wiping out that from the experience and from the teaching, it's included. But I'm certainly not. I don't know. I know Yazi is, for example, is having instruction, as Jean said, and there is a clear presence of our church there with the mission, and I think that's the essence that we go where we're called, and we're called to feed, clothe, and help people that have fewer resources than us, and that's the mission I see.
Let me just add on that. They don't have a difficulty to know it's approached from the Great Spirit in the sense of a Creator God. They have no difficulty. And to simply say that the Creator Spirit, the Big Spirit, the Great Spirit came down and incarnate is not a difficult concept for them to understand because of the love of the Great Spirit that would want to come and be flesh with them and to live with them, to dwell with them, the idea of incarnation. And by our presence there, we represent that piece of our theology to say we've come to be with you. And so it's not to deny anything. It's to enflesh it or to fill it out, to actually to take it further, in other words, as Jesus being the ultimate revelation of God, but it doesn't deny the revelation of God in creation or in other different forms, etc.
When Jean goes down, she actually helps lead some different adult education as well, and some of the conversation is revolving around that, like with the partnership and collaboration between the different faiths. And so Jean's great advocate for the voice of talking about being with instead of two distinct ideas. But yes, thank you so much for listening today. We appreciate you taking time to learn a little bit more about the campus itself, as well as our mission that we'd like to go down. And we'd love to have you in any way, shape, or form. We're happy to have your support as we think about future endeavors as well with the Navajo Evangelical Lutheran Mission. Thank you all.